Bless the name of the Lord in this place. Magnify the Lord in this place. Every head bowed and every eye closed, let us go before the Lord today. Father, we thank you for what our eyes have already seen. We thank you, Lord, for what our ears have already heard. We thank you, Lord, for what the Spirit of the Lord has done already in this place. We thank you, Lord, for the visitation and the anointing that is in this place. And we ask that, dear God, on this Resurrection Sunday, that your name would be lifted up. For you said, if we lift you up, Jesus, that you will draw all men and women unto yourself. And so we lift you up today, God. We endeavor to lift you up. We lift you up when we don't feel like it. And God, when we know that we have been blessed, we lift you up even more. For Lord, we know that the higher we lift you up, the better off things shall be around us. The higher we lift you up, God, the greater your glory shall shine. Help us to lift you up today, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Have your way, God, and we shall be careful to lift your name up. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray it. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, 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 and amen. Now put your hands together, give the Lord a praise offer like you mean it. Everybody standing to their feet. Everyone standing to their feet. We want to direct your attention to the scriptures, believing that there is a message from the Lord in this place. We invite your attention to the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. The 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. I invite you to read with me, starting in verse number 27, the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, starting in verse number 27 through verse number 36. Amen. Say amen. You've located the text.
Amen.
To God be the glory. The scriptures read in this 12th chapter of John's Gospel, starting in verse 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now this is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become the sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify, may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, the blessings of lifting Jesus up. The blessings of lifting Jesus up. Again, let's pray. Father, may the words not return void, but may these words accomplish that which you intended. May hearts be encouraged, may minds be illuminated, and ultimately, O God, may souls be convicted, I pray. On this Resurrection Sunday, God, we endeavor to lift you up and asking that you would have your way in this place. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, we do pray it. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, 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 and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Collins, if someone turned a little bit of the treble up, if you would. Too much bass. I want to, ushers, you may be seated as well. I want to use the occasion of Resurrection Sunday as an opportunity to challenge the people of God to lift up Jesus. Very simple message today that in no matter what situation you find yourself in, I believe that the scriptures say that if we lift up Jesus from the earth, that all manner of blessings will come our way. Hence the title of today's sermon, The Blessings of Lifting Jesus Up. On this Resurrection Sunday, in which we have gotten dressed up and looking spiffy and looking beautiful and looking handsome, my challenge is to say to you, it's not what's on the outside that matters most, but it's what's on the inside that is going to be the telltale sign of your faith in times of tragedy and trauma and challenge and travail. Your ability to lift up the name of Jesus is what's going to make the difference in your life and your ability to overcome your challenges of life. I have found that no matter what I look like on the outside, when I'm going through my challenges, it's not what's on the outside that matters. It's what's on the inside that matters most. Do I have a witness here today? When you really have been down and out, you get to a point where it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter how the hair is moving or not moving today. It doesn't matter what the shoes are shined or not shined. It doesn't matter if the wardrobe is put together, matching, and all looking the same. When you are really at a point of crossroad and intersection in your spiritual life, it is not what's going to matter what you look like on the outside. It's going to be whatever God has put inside of you to get you through your trial and your tribulation. And the part of fact is not just what you look like. It's not what you look like on the outside that matters. It's also the folk around you. That's not going to matter most in your ability to navigate and circumnavigate the travesties and the travails of life. I've come to a point in my life where as much as I love my wife and my children, they who are closest to me, at some point, even they may not be able to get to where I am. And I need to understand that what God has put inside of me and my ability to lift up the name of Jesus is what's going to make the difference in my circumstance. I know I'm not the only one in here on Resurrection Sunday that have come to the conclusion that when you are down and out all by yourself, that it is you and Jesus that is going to have to walk through this valley, hike over this mountain, and your ability to not only hold on to the hand of God, but your ability to say, God is bigger than my circumstance. God is greater than my enemies. The Lord Jesus is more powerful than what I'm dealing with right now. And so I've just got to figure out how I'm going to lift him up, because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, I will make the difference in your circumstance. So on this day, I want to leave with you three blessings, even three groups of folk who are three groups of people, three constituencies that I believe will be blessed because of our ability to lift up Jesus in our circumstance. I believe that the larger community around us will be blessed when we who believe in Jesus lift him up. I believe that with the depth of my soul. I believe that we, the believers, the church of Jesus Christ, shall be blessed in our ability to lift up the name of Jesus. And then lastly, I believe that all of creation, the cosmos, all of the rest of God's created order shall be blessed when we who are believers in the Lord Jesus are really and truly lifting him up in our circumstances and in our situations. Well, preacher, what help me to better understand what you mean by our ability to lift up the name of Jesus, and who shall be blessed when we are obedient in lifting up the name of Jesus. I want to draw your attention to this 12th chapter. I've been in this 12th chapter for the last couple of Sundays. If you notice, it was last week that I referenced John chapter 12 verses 1 through 9 and dealing with the crowds and dealing with the notion of be mindful of those gathering crowds and what they represent and what they don't represent. And Jesus goes on into chapter 12 with the triumphal entry. And so this text that we find here in the end of John's 12th chapter, or really the middle of John's 12th chapter, for the first part of the 12th chapter deals with the triumphal entry and the shouts of Hosanna that we did on last Sunday. But today we find Jesus in this very interesting dialogue between heaven and between earth. It is interesting. This is before crucifixion. This is before Resurrection Sunday. This is on the road leading to the cross. And Jesus stops and he has this conversation with his Father. And he has this conversation with those who are following him. It says in verse number 27 that Jesus' soul was troubled. And what shall I say, he says. He says, Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. We presented in our resurrection play last Friday night the challenge that Jesus went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. We highlighted the issue of Jesus' humanity. The fact that Jesus is both fully divine, but he was also fully human. And when you're about to die for the sins of the world, you too would be going through some challenge and some travail. When you're about to take on all of the sins of humanity and let the devil nail you to the cross. You do know he let the devil nail him to the cross. The devil didn't do it to him. He let him do it. Now, on Resurrection Sunday, y'all need to stop right there for a moment. Let me rewind to a couple of days, go back to Crucifixion Friday. The devil did not do to Jesus anything more than Jesus allowed him to do. You know why that's good news? Because it still reaffirms for me that the devil can only do so much, but God, when God gets ready, will step into the situation. Why is that important? Because some of y'all are feeling like you're being nailed to somebody's cross.
And I need you to understand that God is still on the throne. The devil cannot do more to you than God will allow. You know why that's good news? Because God will step in. If you just hold on to him, he'll step in to your crucifixion situation and remind you that he still has all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Come on, somebody. The devil is a liar. Does anybody believe today that the devil is a liar? Does anybody believe the devil is defeated? Does anybody believe that sooner rather than later, God would allow you to overcome your trial and your tribulation? I know what it looks like right now. I know it looks dark right now. I know it's heavy right now. I know it's burdensome right now. But God, sooner rather than later, will step in. Jesus says, you don't take my life, I lay it down. Jesus is, was, and forever it will be in control of your situations. But Jesus wrestled with this cup. And he said, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. He's wrestling. You can see it in verse 27. But at some point in the middle of it, he says, but I came to this hour. I'm wrestling with it, but I came to this hour for this purpose right here. I was born through 42 generations for this purpose right here. I endured 12 disciples, one of whom betrayed me, another of whom denied me. But I came to this hour right here. I lifted folk from the dead. Lazarus, come forth for this hour right here. I healed Syrophoenician's daughter and Jairus's daughter and Mary and Peter's mom-in-law for this purpose right here. I overcome. I walked on water for this purpose right here. I fed 5,000 with two loaves of bread and some fish for this purpose right here. I allowed them to talk about me for this purpose right here. I allowed them to stab me for this purpose. I resolve in my spirit, Father, that I've come to this purpose, to this hour, for this purpose. And he says, Father, verse 28, put the scripture up. Glorify your name. Then a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Father, glorify your name. Get the glory out of the situation. And don't miss what God said. This is the divine conversation that Jesus is having with his Father in the middle of humanity. You have to understand what's going on. Jesus is talking to his daddy, but there's some listeners around him. He says, Father, glorify your name. The Father answers his son, and he says, Son, be encouraged. Not only will I glorify it right now, but I'm going to keep on glorifying it. I need somebody to stay right there with me. I need you to understand the significance of what that means. Not only will I get the glory now, but in future generations, for folk who have yet to even be born, I'm still going to get the glory. What does that mean for the 21st century church? Jesus says, Father, glorify your name. God says, I've already glorified it, and I'm going to keep glorifying it again. That means that right now, today, on April the 5th, 2015, God is still getting the glory out of somebody's situation. I need someone here to understand that if you don't give God the glory, God's going to get some glory. I don't know what the Lord has done for anybody here lately, but you ought to glorify him. But if you don't glorify him, don't you know that God is going to get some glory somewhere? If you don't shout, God, make the rocks cry out. If the rocks don't cry out, the stars will cry out. If the stars don't cry out, the sun will cry out. cry out. If the sun doesn't cry out, the moon will cry out. If the moon doesn't cry out, the birds will cry out. But God is going to get the glory from somewhere and from somebody. And that means, neighbor, if you don't want to glorify him, don't stop me from glorifying the Lord. If you don't want to shout for him, don't shout me. Don't look at me funny, because you don't know what the Lord has done for me lately. Has God done anything for anybody lately? Has the Lord liberated anybody lately? Has the Lord delivered anybody lately? Has the Lord made a way for anybody lately? Has the Lord done a miracle for anybody lately? Has the Lord moved a mountain for anybody lately? If he's done anything for you lately, I need you to give him some glory. I need you to lift him up and say, thank you, Lord. God says, I've already been glorified, and I will be glorified again and again and again and again and again. Here's the interplay between divinity and humanity. While Jesus is having the divine conversation with Daddy, the other folk hear something like thunder. Look at the text. It says in verse number 29, the people who stood by heard it and said it had thundered, or others said an angel had spoken to Jesus. And here's the part I want to get to. He says in verse number 30, this voice did not come because of me, but it came for you. As much as Jesus wrestled, and I've often thought about this from a theological, ecclesiological, teleological, epistemological point of view, all that means, I wrestled with this text. Why, God, do you let me and us see Jesus wrestling with his cup? If he is fully human, fully divine, and we already know how the story is going to end, what is the purpose of the wrestling? And then the Lord brings it back to my attention that what I have done in sending Jesus is to send him as a model so that humanity would rise above their humanness and begin to let their divinity that is inside of them begin to percolate up while your humanity goes down. There needs to be an inverse relationship between your humanity and your divinity, because too many of us look at our humanity and we allow our humanity to override our divinity. But God is saying, I need you to let your divinity override your humanity. And Jesus gives us the quintessential example of what it means to wrestle, but to overcome your wrestlings. And so I believe what the Bible says in verse number 30, what you have heard is not for me, but it is for you to understand that when you go through your trial, when you go through your tribulation, you stand on the promises of God and believe that God will lift you up, even though you don't know how you're going to get out of your situation. Jesus goes on to say in the text, in In verse 32, which is the text I need you to focus on for the rest of the scripture, for the rest of the sermon, he says, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." If I be lifted up, not his humanity, but his divinity. If I be lifted up, not Jesus, Mary's baby, but the Christos, the anointed one, the Messiah. If you lift up the God of heaven and earth, if I be lifted up, I will do the rest. All I need you to do is lift me up and I'll do the rest. I need someone to understand the importance of what it means to lift up Jesus, because some of us are trying to do it all by ourselves. But God is saying, stop trying to do it by yourself. Stop trying to figure it out by yourself. I don't care how strong you are, you can't do it by yourself. I don't care how smart you are, you cannot do this thing by yourself. I don't care how many degrees you got behind your name, you can't do this thing by yourself. But if you listen to me, and if you lift me up, I'll do the rest. I need someone here who can testify that when they let go and let God, and they begin to lift up Jesus, that a miracle begin to happen in your life. When you stop trying to figure it out with your limited understanding, that's when God stepped into your situation and he straightened out crooked places and he smoothed over rough places. When I let go, that's when God began to do the rest. And I'm foolish enough to believe that when we lift him up, certain folk get blessed. I believe the community around us get blessed. Part of what we're doing with Vision 2020 is trying to lift up Jesus. Because I refuse to believe that children in Trenton or in South Central LA or in East Palo Alto or in Houston's 3rd and 4th Ward and Chicago's South Side and Philadelphia's North Side and in parts of Newark and parts of Harlem, I refuse to believe that your zip code ought to define your identity and your possibility in life. What are you saying, preacher? Just because you were born in 90044 area code, zip code where I was born, in the heart of South Central, doesn't mean you've got to have a South Central mentality. Just because you were born into poverty and into whatever lack that you may experience doesn't mean you got to stay there. Just because you didn't have a daddy in your life and your mama may have done some things you're ashamed of doesn't mean that that has to define who you are. Jesus came out of Nazareth. You're not getting what Nazareth was talked about. Nazareth was the equivalent of the east side of Los Angeles. Nazareth was the equivalent of parts of Trenton. It was where folks said nothing good can come out of there. But I'm here to declare, it doesn't matter where you start. What matters is where you finish. And if you learn how to lift up Jesus, Jesus will do a miracle. He'll pick you up, turn you around, put your feet on solid ground. He'll open doors that no man can shut. He'll build bridges. I believe that our community ought not stay the same. If we say we believe in a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ever could imagine. If I say I believe in Jesus, why should a 30-year factory stay abandoned and boarded up If I say I believe in Jesus, you're missing that, are you? Why should my community stay the same? If I say I believe in a God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than I ever could imagine, why should I allow the devil to keep overrunning my community? If I say I believe in a God who is able, only one of two things can be true. Either I don't believe in the God I say I believe in, and I just drive into church just to go into a building, sing a few songs, pray a few prayers, go back out to where I came from, and leave the community looking like it's looking. Or I've got to believe that when I come into the house of worship, that my praise and my worship is not just for the building, but it must begin to spill out and over into the community from which I've come, so that they out there would say, I want some of what they got going on up in there, because God is moving. I believe that part of our lifting up Jesus is so that other folk would get blessed around us. That children would not have to suffer some of the things that they are suffering, being afraid to walk outside and play outside because of stray bullets and gangbangers and gun toters. We've got to change. And if our divine communication is not heard by somebody out there, there ought to be folks saying out there, I think there's thundering going on at Shiloh Baptist Church. I thought I saw some lightning flashing up in the building. I don't know what they're doing up in there, but something is going on. The passersby, the listeners, ought to hear and be party to what's going on by the people of God. But not only should the community be blessed, and I believe one of the major things that we're going to do that many of you did in 1969 and 72 was to erect this worship complex. And understand, it is a complex. It is a sanctuary on top of a community center on the bottom. And I praise God that Dr. Woodson and you saints here had the vision to not just build a church, but to build a worship center. And all that we're trying to do now is expand the worship center. To not build a new church, but to build a new recreation facility where children can play basketball and feel safe from their environment and even change the environment. Where parents can come and get job training. Because some of us decided to lift up Jesus. But not only do I believe the community will be blessed, I believe the church will be blessed. The believers will be blessed. For you see, in the crowd was not just those who didn't believe, but remember now, the disciples were there. Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, and others were there. They were there listening to the divine conversation. And they heard what the passers-by and the other folks said. And so the Bible intimates that they who were there, who believed already. In point of fact, Jesus says, those of you who walk in the light, believe in the light and keep walking in the light. It says to me that if I lift up Jesus as a believer, not only will other folk get blessed, but I will get blessed. And I don't know about you, but I thank God today that God is still in the blessing business. I thank God today that when I look at my circumstance and my situation, that I've got evidence that God is still in the blessing business. And I need a few of you here today, as good as you look on Resurrection Sunday, to understand that I've got to keep on lifting him up. Because if I keep on lifting him up, it'll make all the difference in my circumstances and in my situations. And so I want to get blessed. But not only the community, not only the church, the believers, but I believe lastly that the cosmos, the rest of the created order, shall get blessed. And the reason I know that and I believe that is because there's a story in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verse number 9, in which Moses is leading the people out of captivity. And the Bible says that Moses came to a point where the people were being bitten by serpents all around them, and many of the people were dying. And the Bible says that God told Moses to put a snake on a pole and lift the pole up in the middle of the camp and tell the people that when you get bitten by a serpent, that all you've got to do is look up at the serpent and live in the middle of your circumstance. And I believe that part of what God was telling Moses was that the serpents are not going to be taken away. The serpents of life are still going to be present. You all need to understand that when you walk through life, you're still going to have some snakes and some serpents all around you. We may not call them snakes and serpents today. You might call them backbiters. You might call them player haters. You might call them backstabbers. But I need somebody to know today that the snakes are still going to be there. And they're still going to bite some of the people of God. But I'm so glad today that God made a way to deal with the serpents. And God said, Moses, take the very thing that's biting you. Take the very thing that's trying to destroy you and put it up on a pole. And when you look up in the air, you're not only looking at the thing that's trying to destroy you, but I want you to look beyond the thing that's trying to destroy you. Take your focus off the thing that's trying to destroy you and put your focus on the one who is able to rescue you. Take your focus off the snakes and the backbiters and put your focus on the one who's able to deliver you. And I'm so glad today that on this Resurrection Sunday, I just stopped by to tell somebody to take your focus off the thing that's trying to destroy you. Look up in the air at the one God lifted up. And when you look up in the air, look beyond your trouble. Look beyond your pain. Look beyond your snake. Look beyond your backbiter. And I want you to see Jesus off in the distance. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. Put nails in his hands. Nails in his feet. They lifted him up. And every time I look at Jesus, I see my resurrection power. Every time I look at Jesus, I see my getting up power. Every time I look at Jesus, I see the devil is defeated. And I just stopped by to tell everybody, on Resurrection Sunday, keep lifting him up. Because when you lift him up, he'll deal with your backbiters. When you lift him up, he'll deal with your naysayers. When you lift him up, he'll deal with your snakes and your enemies. When you lift him up, will anybody help me lift up Jesus today? Will anybody help me lift up Jesus today? My rose of Sharon, my lily of the valley, my bright. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift up your heads, all ye gates. and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, mighty in battle. Whatever you need to do to lift Jesus up, do it. Lift him up in your family. Lift him up in your church. Lift him up in your community. Because the higher you lift Jesus, I believe the better off you will be in your situation. Let the church say amen today. Let the church say amen today. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Everyone standing to their feet. Everyone standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess clergy, help me extend the invitation. On this first Sunday, it is rare that Resurrection Sunday also falls on first Sunday, in which we have communion and in which we shall baptize believers. But if I can, listen, I'm gonna switch it up a little bit, Aaron and Beta. I want y'all to sing, "If I Be Lifted Up," I will, how to reach the masses, men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave the key. If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Come on, this Resurrection Sunday, I want us to lift him up in song. I want us to lift him up in praise. In the name of Jesus. Look at God today. Come on, sister, come on down now. Look at God. Put your hands together. Give the praise. Give the Lord some praise. Does anybody want to join the church today? Does anybody want to join the church today? Does anybody want to give their lives to the Lord? Down the notch, just a little bit. Keep singing it. As we extend this invitation, I believe there's some folk who've been away from church for a long time. And I praise God that you're here today. But I want you to use this opportunity to say, "Lord, I've been away for whatever reason, but I'm going to come back and get closer to you. And the first step I'm going to make is by coming back and joining and reuniting with the house of faith." And so if you're here today and you have been out of church for whatever reason, God wants is saying to you, won't you come back and into the body of Christ? Won't you come and you reunite with the fellowship of the saints so that you can continue to walk with others by your side? But more importantly than that is the relationship that God wants to have with you. And so I believe that God is calling someone here today. Our sister has already come down. I praise the Lord for her. But I believe that there may be another man, another woman out there in the sanctuary. And God is speaking to you today. There's a father. And God is saying, "Father, if you want things to get right with your family, I need you to start lifting me up." There's a mother wrestling with her children. And I need you to say, "Look at God today. Look at God today." Somebody give the Lord a praise offering. Come on, somebody lift it. Put your hands together. Give God a praise offering.